start with, I said to everyone, just came home from Sankirtan, so to say, it has still the Sankirtan mood within their immediate experience and remembrance, that we could just go a little bit in the back in the past of Krishna consciousness and ask you, what was this legendary Radha Damoda party about? I think everyone knows it was a bus party, and they traveled and did festivals or Harinam and also book distribution, but we do not know much more what it was about. And could you also explain what was Srila Prabhupada's instruction to this party in general and in book in regards to book distribution in particular?
When I began to join this party, it was already formed. There were only 8 devotees in one bus. So Vishnujan Swami used to chant very nice kirtans, and as a result so many people would come around. So I would approach the persons who were sitting around, and by preaching to them, some of them agreed to join. But Vishnujan Maharaj said, well, we can't have them join. Where will they stay? We only have one bus with 8 people already in it. We're full. So I said, but they want to surrender their life. You've attracted them by your chanting, so we have to leave. And besides, many of them had some lakshmi. So he said, well, then we might make more room for them. He said, I think we could find a little more room in the bus. So actually, they gave so much lakshmi that suddenly he became very pleased, and he said that we could expand the number of buses. The number of devotees grew very quickly to perhaps 40 devotees. We must have made about 20 devotees within a very short period of time. And when we wrote to Prabhupada that every day we were going out on the chanting party, Prabhupada immediately replied that that is nice, but for wider kirtan, book distribution will be better. And we had only brand new devotees. So we started to have them go out 4 hours a day on book distribution. And when they started to go out on book distribution 4 hours a day, then they wanted to go out all day long. They got a taste for it. So I started to calculate that, I calculated that now we have so many devotees that we could come out number one in book distribution if we make a good plan. So within about 4 or 5 months, we came out number one. At that time, being number one in the world meant, I think we gave about $20,000 to the world. So gradually the numbers increased, the devotees increased, the buses increased, until we had 6 buses, very big buses. There are 40-foot long buses. And they could hold 300 cases of books in the bays of the buses. And each bus had about 25 devotees. And every bus had 4 big vans connected to it. So the book distributors would go up. And then there were some other vans also. Altogether there were 40 large vans, 6 buses. And then our men were in all the airports in the United States. So there was about 150 devotees within 1 year's time. It grew from 8 devotees to 150. And Prabhupada, I recall, he came to Atlanta, and there were about 50 of our men who met him there. And he very much encouraged them to remain Brahmacharya. He said that If you can remain brahmachari, you will save yourself from so many problems. Because if you get married, the first thing your wife will ask is, where is our house? Where are my saris? Where is nice jewelry? And where are children? And you will have so many problems. So Prabhupada said, if you want to remain very free from problems, remain a brahmachari and do sankirtan. That was his message to our sankirtan. Then we were distributing, and each month we were increasing. 50,000, 60,000, 80,000, $90,000 to the book fund. We took out, back at that time, we were doing big books and magazines. That's all, two things. We were doing every month 100,000 Bhaktivedanta magazines and perhaps 30,000 big books, which was a lot in those days. And our contributions were about one-third of the whole BBT remittances came from our father. So we went up to $120,000 for 1 month. And I wrote Prabhupada a letter that now the problem is that we cannot get enough books. We're distributing so many books that they cannot supply us the books fast enough. So Prabhupada said, yes, he said, but I have a problem, which is that I am translating so fast that you cannot distribute the books fast enough to keep up with me. So at the time, they were printing, I believe, 20,000 of each new title. So I said to suggest to Prabhupada that it wasn't enough because we're distributing so fast. So Prabhupada's agreement that we could print 50,000 of every new title. New Bhagavatam. That was Chaitanya Chaitanya. We were distributing. Our men would go out and distribute, you know, Adi Leela Volume 1, Antya Leela, Fifth Canto Bhagavatam. All of the books were coming out. Very unusual things were in these books. And we were collecting so much Lakshmi also for the books that sometimes when we had an excess Lakshmi, we could let the books go, even big books, for $1, $2 on Sundays. If we had any extra money, we didn't keep any extra money. We would immediately figure out whatever extra money we had, and Sundays we would calculate and give everybody these books, and they would simply stop, and from anywhere would stop at a traffic light, and every car that stopped, they would take a dollar and give them a big book. Sunday was very blissful for them. So then we had a very big marathon competition in 1975 because our party was being challenged by all of the temples in the west coast of the United States. So I immediately told the BBT trustee that we will win this competition and I'm sending you a blank check. And whatever the amount that you get from all of the temples put together, you add on an extra $30,000 or $20,000, whatever it was, and deposit it in the bank and it will clear. I said, in that way, you should inform them from the first day that they already lost. Something like what the Russians have done. They sent the challenge letter.
Yeah, at least to Germany, I think, also to Switzerland, they sent the challenge. To Germany, they sent a challenge. You can't even be on the second place because we would be so good.
And Moscow sent.
Yes.
So anyway, we would something very confident like that. So that month, I remember we distributed we gave $190,000 to the book fund, which was very good in those days. Now perhaps people do more than that, right? In those days it was nobody ever could imagine sending so much money to the book fund. We distributed 50,000, 60,000 e-books, 200,000 magazines, and somehow or other it was very successful. So Prabhupada, when I showed him how we were keeping everything, because we kept very close in contact with all of our devotees, that was another thing. Every day, because our buses were roaming everywhere, but every day they had to call in to a central location where we had our headquarters, and all the scores were given in, all the expenses we carefully monitored, so we had the maximum amount of money for the BBT. So Prabhupada appreciated it. He told me we should get hundreds of such buses. So that was a little idea. And during the day, we all buses also did college preaching. There was a party that would go out and do Harinam, chanting in the college campuses. Every day, six different buses did, you know, six programs, and lectured in the classrooms after the doing the kirtan. So it was a very complete program.
When I first saw you and Vishnujan Swami, it was on some train, as far as I remember, near around Hyderabad. Maybe it was not even on a train, but I saw you with all your men, and Vishnujan Swami was also there, and you were preaching to them. So I was just thinking that to address a question to you, which usually is in the mind of devotees before a marathon and also during a marathon, and that is a question: how can one be empowered in Krishna consciousness? We often see, and we have also heard from devotees like Harinamananda Prabhu, that even though they are good distributors and usually distribute very nice and good amounts of books, they still know in their hearts that they need to be empowered and by this some kind of divine energy, the mercy energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, having so much experience in preaching to devotees, I think we would be very much profited if you would talk a little bit on this principle. How can a devotee be empowered in his service of book distribution so that the books go out? Because sometimes it is even a wonder, and many times it's a wonder even to the big book distributors, how something is happening at all on the streets.
I think that what made us successful in the Radha-Dhamana Party, and what makes devotees successful anywhere, is their dedication to their spiritual master and the conviction that the spiritual master has regarding book distribution is transferred to the disciple. In other words, Srila Prabhupada made it very clear to us that the most important program was book distribution, and that if we wanted to please him, then it was very easy to do so if we distributed his books. Not only because it would please him, but he made it clear that it was pleasing to him because it was the desire of his Guru Maharaj. In other words, the whole principle was one of coming down in disciplic succession. This order was not, he said, it is not my order, it is the order I have gotten from my Guru Maharaj. So we, Prabhupada directly felt that he was fulfilling his Guru Maharaj's instruction by seeing book distribution expanding. And therefore he felt very much indebted to his disciples who helped him to fulfill his Guru's order. And when the Guru feels so indebted, he wants to bless the disciple. And he blesses the disciple with genuine Krishna consciousness. So we did not, you know, we have our connection with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was our connection with Prabhupada. And we were thinking on our part that if it's pleasing Prabhupada, then we're satisfied. Because when we saw Prabhupada happy, then we became happy. So, again, the same truth holds now, that when a disciples, when gurus, who are present gurus, have received the same order from Prabhupada, and when they stress this very much and very clearly to their disciples, and when the disciples feel that the pleasure of my spiritual master is the success to my spiritual life, then if the guru's desire is to see book distribution expanded unlimitedly, then a genuine disciple tries to carry that out. And that is the way he becomes empowered. He cannot get directly empowered by Krishna. The empowerment comes through the disciple succession. There is a very nice description given, I think, Narottam Vilas, or some scripture. Narahari Chakravarti. Have you read this description? He wanted to have direct service to...
Yes, that's the Narahari Chakravarti.
He wanted to have direct service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is his spiritual master? Anyway, I forget his name of his spiritual master. But he wanted a direct association with Narottam Das, wasn't he?
Yes.
With Narottam Das Thakur. He's somewhat, right?
Yes. Yes, there was.
With Narottam Das.
Yes.
So, in a dream, he was always hankering to serve Narottam Das. In a dream, he tried to get this opportunity, but he found that he could not. You remember how the story goes? My mind is drawing a blank, but it is very appropriate regarding the power. You can speak.
Yes, this devotee Narahari Chakravarti Thakur wanted to have a direct connection with Narottam Das Thakur, who was not his own spiritual master, but somewhat removed. I mean, he was not the spiritual master. So, I remember that in a vision or dream, he...
It's not a dream as we get.
Yeah. It was like a
vision.
Vision, yes. In a vision, a state of exalted spiritual consciousness, he was handed by his spiritual master. He was handed upwards through the line of cyclic succession until he was standing before Sri Krishna.
And no, then Lord Chaitanya.
Lord Chaitanya, yes, Lord Chaitanya. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
wouldn't... It was Lord Nityananda.
One of the two. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda wouldn't accept him. They would again hand him down.
Yes, who is his spiritual master?
Yeah, they are... You're right, now we get...
Who does he belong to?
Yeah. And he said, well, he said the name of his spiritual master. He didn't say Narottam Das Thakur's name because he was the disciple of his spiritual master, although he wanted to have a direct relationship with Narottam Das Thakur. But then, one of the two, either Lord Nityananda or Lord Chaitanya, they handed him down until he was again at
they
the lotus.
They gave him to Advaita.
Advaita.
And Advaita, he said, I cannot accept him. So Advaita said, I cannot accept him. And he kept getting handed down to Gadadhar Prabhu. Right? And to Srivas, and then to the Goswamis, and one by one they handed him down, until what?
Until he was again with his own spiritual master. That showed that he could not approach either Narottam Das Thakur or the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Nityananda. Directly he was the servant of his spiritual master eternally.
And then gradually he was placed directly in the service of Chaitanya.
Yeah, that is what his spiritual master then did.
Yeah. He placed him directly and he began to fan Lord Chaitanya. So empowerment comes at when we are properly connected in disciplic succession with Lord Chaitanya. The empowerment, the power is coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for preaching, but it comes to us through the instructions we receive from our spiritual master. And we should regard our spiritual master as the direct representative of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the representatives of the disciplic succession. And when we hear from him the instruction to distribute books, we should know it is coming from all of these exalted personalities, including the Supreme Lord himself. And meditating on our spiritual master, we go out and we distribute, and for his pleasure we distribute, and it gives pleasure to all the members of the succession, and therefore we become successful. It doesn't depend on anything else. Book distribution success does not depend on any material ability. It is totally dependent on the mercy of Guru and of previous acharyas. If they are pleased by our proper attitude, which should be very humble and as menial servants of them, then they may act through us. We should not think that we are doing, it is they who are doing. And we are simply acting on their behalf. We are a tool in their hands. But this is the way to remain empowered. And unless one is humble, Trinadapi said, you cannot go on constantly doing Sankirtan. As it says, you cannot chant constantly, you will not be able to do Sankirtan unless you remain in that humble attitude. As soon as you think, I am the doer, I have succeeded. Therefore I see that the distributors here are so nice. About 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago in Mayapur, I remember that they were organizing some stage program, you know. And they were, you know, I don't remember the person's name who was on the stage, but he was trying to praise everyone, and Brahmini Sutaprabhu was very upset. I don't like this attitude. This will not help our men to hear this. We don't think like this, you know. And I always remember this, and I appreciated that the mood that Rohini Sutaprabhu has always taught everyone here is, you know, not in any way to think that I am doing something very great, but always to think that this book distribution is the most glorious activity, that the disciplic parampara are all glorious, and I am actually very inglorious. There's nothing great about me, but they are great, and because I'm serving them, something successful is happening. And not liking to hear oneself praised very much. So I felt, you know, that actually this is something that is very special to this zone. It is very special, and at least I have seen it in Rohini Sutaprabhu, that he has tried to teach everyone this, and those who he has trained and taught, they have this special quality. And I have gone to other places and I have not seen it in the same way. And I think it has everything to do with the success of the book distribution here. The humility of the devotee distributors. Because humility is the most important quality of a Vaishnava.
Thank you, Mary. That's a very nice and helpful answer. I wanted to draw an answer to a philosophical point, to another philosophical point, which is of relevance, because often devotees' questions touch upon this area. It is a question regarding the inconceivable potency of the books to change people's consciousness. I must say, I also want to ask this question a little bit in a personal way. I remember once we were in Kabul, Afghanistan, preaching. At that time, we were only able to distribute books at marriage parties of Hindus. It was a very violent time when the Muslims would always try to get us and disturb us. So there was a film. It went like Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Dam, Ram, and indicated that the Hare Krishna devotees were chanting, and then they would take some drugs after that.
Dam, Ram, Dam.
Dam, yes. So Prabhupada, he apparently had commented to this film that don't think about Dam, Ram, that doesn't matter. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram is the holy name. And that will work, even if the people hear some nonsense afterwards, Hare Krishna. And then Dhamma, Dhamma, that means take another pipe, hashish pipe or something. If there is just Hare Krishna, that will work. And so that was the first time when I woke up to this concept of Agyata Sukriti. And later, of course, we heard how Prabhupada said, if a person only touches the book, then he will benefit, and so on and so forth. So could you maybe explain how Prabhupada's vision was on this Agyata Sukriti? Because we distribute books, and we know not everyone we are distributing the book to will be able to appreciate the book. These people sometimes are quite simple in their mind, and when they open the book, it is they don't read; they cannot read for a long time, at least, to say the least. So, how was Prabhupada? From where did he take his conviction that just by distributing books, the society would change at large?
Yeah.
This is a very interesting question, which comes up again and again, differently formulated in the society of devotees.
We have to understand what these books are. These books are described that when Krishna leaves this world, then Srimad Bhagavatam came in his place to give light in this dark age of Kali. So, just like we see that the sun gives light all over the universe, then who is that king that wanted to again give light in the dark side?
Priyavrata.
Maharaj. So he was like a second sun. And his chariot went around, and with the side of the universe that was dark, Priyavrata illuminated. So the Bhagavatam is no less brilliant than the sun of Krishna. And when Krishna disappears, automatically the world is thrown into darkness, except for the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam, which has preserved the illumination in the world. Why is it illuminating? Because illumination means freedom from ignorance. And the Bhagavatam contains the words which dispel ignorance. In fact, the Bhagavatam is, in one sense, not only is it as good as Krishna, but in another way, it is the most complete form of Krishna because it is Krishna and his devotees. In the Bhagavatam, we find all of the greatest devotees of the Lord are described. All of them. So, in India, it is understood that if you invite a devotee to your home, that is the best way for a householder to purify his home. So when a person takes the Bhagavatam to their home, Bhagavatam or Gita to their home, it is the same as if they personally invited Sukadev Goswami, Balad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, all of the sages of Namaisharanya, and all of the great personalities who are being glorified in the Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva and his prayers, Narada Muni, Vidura, Maitreya, Uddhava want to speak of the entire entourage of Krishna described in the 10th canto. All of these persons are coming into the home. Therefore, it is better to give many books at once. If you only give one book, then maybe only Prahlad Maharaj goes to the home. But if you can give 7, 8 books, then you just think of who assembles in such a person's home. So, therefore, Prabhupada knew that actually it is aparad to say that there is a difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. And similarly, it is aparad, offense, to think that there is a difference between the person, Bhagavatam, and the description of the person, Bhagavatam. We know for a fact that when we read about Narada Muni, or we read about Prahlad Maharaj, they're there. They are there. We are associating with them. So it is a fact that by these books entering into the home of the householders, the fallen conditioned souls, all of these persons become coming in the home. And who has brought them there? They have brought them there. They have purchased the book. And therefore Prabhupada wanted people to buy the books, not to get them free. Because that is seva. It is seva to all of these great personalities. They have now just made a decision. I want to invite Narada Muni to my home. I want to invite... It doesn't matter whether they know or don't know. But these personalities are pure and they will cleanse the home. Just like Harinamanana told me that I asked him today, when he came back this evening, do many of the people who you meet, have they already received books? He says many of them have got some book before. Because we have distributed at least 2 million or more books here. So many have gotten the books. And he said, there's a big difference now, I notice. He said, 5 years ago, oh, it was so heavy. People were so cold and hard to deal with. He said, but now it's much, much easier. Many of them are very nice to deal with. And he said, we can therefore understand this is the influence of having gotten Prabhupada's books. So, what could be better than Vaishnava Seva? There is no higher service than Vaishnava Seva. So Prabhupada therefore made this point that if they but take a book, their whole life is changed and their devotional life begins. Because life begins, ado sharatata sadhu. So they had some faith by associating. And just see how quickly these two things develop. By associating with the book distributor, immediately, by hearing from him, they get some faith. Enough faith to take out their money, which next to their life is the most dear thing to them, and give that money. And the result is immediately they get sadhu sangha. They get immediate association with so many sadhus, beginning with Srila Prabhupada and all other great personalities who appear within the Bhagavatam. Not only Prabhupada, because not only do all of those persons who we mentioned, like Prahlad and Narada and other Mahajans, but all of the Bhagavatam commentators. Srila Prabhupada's purports are made up of the commentaries of his Guru Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami and Sridhar Swami. So many great commentators are there. So all of these persons are now giving association to this fallen conditioned soul, who's no longer fallen, an ordinary fallen conditioned soul. He already has come to the point of shraddha, adho shraddha, and he's already come to the point of sadhu sangha. And if he stays in contact with these books, and now if we also start to cultivate these people, then the next thing will be bhajanakri. They'll start to perform the practices of devotion. That is the next thing that will automatically happen if we make some effort to contact these people. So it is not an exaggeration when Prabhupada says that just by touching, just by getting a book, people's lives change. This is philosophically clear.
What advice could you give to a devotee who thinks about dedicating his whole life to the book distribution mission. There are different philosophies going about. One is, well, if I want to do this the whole life, I better save some energy. If I'm going too wild now into this, I might be burnt out fast. Others think different things. So, but many devotees who once have experienced the nectar of book distribution, they sincerely want to dedicate their whole life to this mission. At least here in this zone, I have heard this many times, getting many letters, I want to go my whole life in book distribution. So how should they prepare themselves?
They should look at the example of Ramani Sutta, who has been distributing books for his whole career, and he's still going on. Yesterday he did 200 books. And he's, you can see, he's a skinny man, right? He's not so physically big, but he's distributing very nicely. And he doesn't show any sign of not going on. I think Krishna will help him to go on. I mean, if Bhishma could go on the battlefield and shoot arrows at that age, and Prabhupada also said, I want to die like a soldier in the field, then this is our line. Our line is meant for this, to go on being a soldier. We don't think of retirement. So why should a book distributor ever think of retirement? Yes, the only thing that will change is that he will become better at distributing. He'll become more expert. The quality of his distribution will improve more and more. And Krishna will reciprocate. There will come a time when those book distributors go out and people will give their lives, they will surrender their lives on the spot. People will give huge contributions. They have what to speak of, and they will give their lives. So I think that the only thing that will happen is that our book distributors will become more empowered. And simply by meeting them, just like we read, actually, it is not different. Now we are distributing books because we have the printing press's help. But in the past, they were preaching. There's no difference between our distributing books and the preaching done by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. And they were so empowered that they could bring a dead person back to life. So, all these things will happen. In other words, it is mentioned that the preachers of Lord Chaitanya was so empowered that anyone within a radius of miles of that person could become Krishna conscious. So in a sense, book distributors are doing that. Those persons were very powerful. We may not be so powerful. You see, we may have to physically distribute hundreds of books to make the atmosphere around us Krishna conscious. But the principle will gradually be there. Lord Chaitanya will take over, as I said this morning. He will embrace the devotee in his arms, and after that, the devotee will become possessed. You see, like one who is possessed of a ghost. And then whoever they touch, whoever they speak to, that person will also become ghostly haunted. I don't think that we should think of retirement. Oh, I will go into retirement, you know, become what?
Comfortably situated.
Prabhupada didn't pray for that benediction. He prayed that I want to die in the field preaching. I want to die like a soldier. He said, give me that benediction, that I can die like Bhishma did. And he did.
I feel at this stage, if some of our devotees have questions to ask, that would be...
Or else, if they don't, we can go to sleep early. That wouldn't be bad either. People are a little tired. They're tired from distribution. We're tired from what?
Everything. Vrindavan.
So many things.
Talking.
Anyone? Any questions? The story behind the Radha-Dhamma deities, that originally the deities were brought and they were made in Orissa. They're very unusual looking deities, actually. And they're made in Orissa. Krishna is made from German silver. And Radharani is made from, yes, it's made from German silver. And Radharani is made from 8 metals. So, when they arrived and they were taken in a bus, there was an old bus at those days, very old school bus. So in order to protect the deities from falling, they would tie the deities around the waist. So when they asked Prabhupada what name to give, Prabhupada said, Radha-Dhamma. We had so many interesting stories, because we used to go to so many, you know, different places with these deities, and the people had never seen deities before. When we had the police came once, and they had gotten a report that we were torturing 2 children with fire and other things. The police came in and we showed them our 2 children and we showed them the RTE lamp. They thought that we were, you know, someone had reported because they had seen in the early morning the RT through the bus window. And they thought they were 2 children. We used to drive down the highway in our bus, in our big bus. It was very, because that was a really professional buses. And the other professional tourist buses would go sometimes next to us, and we would be, you know, 25 brahmacharis jumping up and down the bus. The bus would be going like this on the highway, and the other bus would go next to it, and, you know, all our windows would be, the curtains would be open, and there'd be a huge kirtan, and all of these old people would be sitting there, and they would just all be looking at the bus. So, Prabhupada, he appreciated it very much. He liked it. Prabhupada came on the buses a number of times, and he liked it very much. Encouraging us. So that's how they got the name Radha-Dhamma. Now they're in Gita Nagari at the farm in Pennsylvania. Now there's also Ladikin Vishanta. Every day we would go out and take them out on the street for kirtan. Big, you know, festival, bhajan.